Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
It's time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
Man, that dude is strange. And he's up to it again.
What happened this weekend, man?
Russell Wilson, NCR. You'll hear it in just a sec. I don't know where this accent's coming from. I don't know where this haircut's coming from, really, with Russell Wilson, but it gets stranger and stranger with he and Ciara. Phillip Rivers, formerly of the Chargers, he is going to become a free agent in March after 16 seasons with the same organization. There are rumblings that he could end up in Tampa Bay, and the Colts are also being mentioned as a possible destination for Phillip Rivers.
Which one scares you more? It's got to be the Colts, right? You keep saying that, you know, he's lost his fastball. He has. You're not wrong. But I'm convinced that it would be pretty scary if Phillip Rivers wound up as an Indianapolis Colt because of his head coach and play caller as much as anything, but also the offensive line protection he's going to have.
Yeah, he would have that. But I think Cam Newton, a healthy Cam Newton, scares me a little bit more with the Colts. I would rather Rivers be there than Cam Newton. But, yeah, the Tampa Bay Bucks, I don't know where their arrow is pointing. If it's pointing up with Phillip Rivers compared to Jameis Winston, quite honestly, I don't know how much better Jameis Winston is at this point, or Phillip Rivers is than Jameis Winston.
Oh, he's
point,
better.
Which is saying a lot.
No, he's better.
Well, Jameis Winston threw 30 touchdown passes.
Yeah, and about 32 interceptions. Something like that, right?
The Texans are already being graded as the worst draft of 2020.
Did you see this?
Which is a little bit premature, but based on the point system that Jimmy Johnson had, the Texans have, this is according to Tankathon, I believe, the Texans have the are set up to have the worst draft. They have the 57th, 101st, 121st, 154th, and 218th selections in the NFL draft. I think it's actually a unique situation because obviously the capital's not there when you made the trades. They're going to get some comp picks. I know that there's going to be needs. This might be a just draft the best. And I know a lot of people say ideally that's what you do, but it's easier said than done for a lot of these teams, especially when you get to the first round, second round, there's more value, or third or whatever. This might just be a draft the best player available draft for
Bill O'Brien. No way, you can't. That's the problem. And for those who don't know, let's explain this a little bit. Jimmy Johnson had a point system determining like what a draft pick is worth if you trade it, and obviously not having those draft picks, there's a value that you can put on what kind of production you're going to get at that draft pick. The highest draft pick the Texans have is 57 overall. The next two highest are 101st and 121st overall. So based on this point system, it's really kind of intriguing, and just because of the way it works, based on this point system, the Texans, even before we're 2 weeks away from the combine, already are projected to have the worst draft of 2020, which is bizarre, but that's one of the things that's
a little premature.
A lot of teams swear by that system.
A tad bit premature. And the bottom line is the teams that always have multiple first-round picks always get the highest-rated draft no matter what. So it's kind of – it might be a little bit early. What is the war room going to look like? Like when they show pictures of the war room, normally they would show like Brian Gain or Rick Smith and B.O.B. would be sitting there. Is it going to be Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, and then the other guys? Like, is Bill O'Brien just going to be holding court?
What if Bill O'Brien's just sitting there by himself? Giant table. There's a giant table with like 15 chairs around it, and he's just sitting there going, "All right, let's see. What do I want to do next?" I mean, he's going to have all the pro scouts, college scouts, all that stuff. It's going to be the same system, but yeah, I mean, it's his draft. And oh, by the way, on this point system, the draft power rankings, if you will, where they assign a value to all the picks, the Miami Dolphins, to the surprise of no one, have the highest point value going into the draft. They've got five picks among the top 57 players. They've got five picks. Here's where it gets interesting from a Texans perspective. The Jaguars have the fourth highest rating. The Colts have the seventh highest rating. So two of your biggest rivals in the division have the highest ratings. And, of course, the Texans, with their highest pick, just 57, and their next one not till 101, are ranked 32nd in the NFL. It's really – I'm going to save this list. And I know it's not – we're not going to know, you know, who has the highest.
For years.
Yeah, for a couple of years. But I'm going to save to see, like, look at all these picks that teams like the Dolphins have and it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Colts do before, you know, before the draft even comes, because they're going to have all that cap space. So maybe they fill out their roster accordingly, and then they can basically draft for best player available as well.
You talk about the war room and Bill O'Brien. You can't trade for – you know, people are going to be talking about, well, maybe they can trade into the first round. With what?
No, that's not happening.
It's not happening.
That's not happening. Unless you're – are they going to trade another one?
Yeah, exactly.
At some point, do – whoever Bill O'Brien answers to, does he like – if let's say Bill O'Brien goes on trading sprees again. Does he at some point say, hey, you got to slow down a little bit, or can he just do whatever he wants?
I mean, at this time – at this point, he's enabled, right? Bill O'Brien – can do
so he could trade another, just about if he wanted to trade another first rounder, he could do it.
Well, you can't trade 2 years out, right? A first round pick, or is that the NBA?
That's NBA.
Yeah, I got those confused. My bad.
Because the Rams haven't made
as
a first
Landry
round,
likes to say, dump that figgy.
The Rams haven't made a first round pick since Jared Goff. You know that?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So I mean, you can keep trading.
No, he can. Absolutely, he can.
He can. There's never going to be any point where they say, slow down, Turbo.
Well,
slow down a little bit there, Turbo. Bill, we got to slow you down just a little bit.
This goes back to the conversation we had in the last hour about you can't halfway jump into a pool.
You could stop trading the first round picks.
You could, but if he convinces Cal McNair, and that's the only person he answers to, that this is going to be important to do. No, he's not. But
my question is, does he have to convince, or can he just do?
He runs it by him. He absolutely runs it by him, right?
I'm not trying to be trite. I'm really serious. Like, does he have to?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he has to. Or at least he does out of courtesy. I mean, that's the owner of the team. And you're talking about
let's say that the Texans are gonna do the unthinkable and they're gonna offer Melvin Gordon 5 years, $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien has to call Cal and say, hey, Cal.
Yes. You're spending the guy's money, man. Yeah, you're spending the guy's money. And you also have to make sure you have the cap worked out.
Oh, yeah? Who's doing that?
I don't know. It's a good question. No one is exactly sure. That's the next mystery in the organization. You know, who's the bean counter over there? Who's making it work?
Bean counter?
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's an expression, man.
Bean counter, huh?
The bean counter, yeah.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk is getting kind of weird with some of the stuff he's been throwing out there. I know that... A lot of times Florio is just about clicks and he throws stuff out there, but for some reason he's been obsessed with Saints third string quarterback Taysom Hill, who's an exciting player. I mean, he can play some tight end for you. He can be the gunner on special teams. They run some wildcat with him. He's a very intriguing player. But this is what Mike Florio said today about Taysom Hill, and he doubled down on something that he said on his show with Chris Sims last week. This is Florio today saying, quote, if you don't think Taysom Hill is a future star in the NFL, you haven't been paying close attention to him. He was the best player on the field for either team in the Saints-Vikings playoff game. By the way, he caught a touchdown pass and then was in the Wildcat. The biggest question is, can he stay healthy if used all the time? This was a few days after Florio had this to say about Taysom Hill, who's going to be a restricted free agent for the Saints. Going to be interesting to see what the market is for him, kind of a utility Swiss Army knife. But Florio actually thinks Taysom Hill can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Not only does he think he can be a starting quarterback, he thinks when it comes to the decisions the Saints are going to have to make, with Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, and Taysom Hill as free agents. Taysom Hill is the no-brainer when it comes to who Sean Payton and company should decide to sign.
Yeah, I think I go Taysom Hill, and it's not that close for me. I think that a lot of what we've seen from Drew Brees the past couple years is the product of Sean Payton, even though he has still generated phenomenal statistics. His passer rating for 2019, the highest of his career. If you pay Brees on top of the dead money they're carrying, $21.3 million from past contracts, there's no way you're going to be able to match an offer sheet that comes in for Taysom Hill. Yeah. When Sean Payton says the guy's Steve Young, I don't think he's playing the okey-doke on someone.
No, definitely not.
I think he means it.
Yes.
And he was the best player on the field in that game against the Vikings a week and a half ago. So I'd go Taysom Hill.
Is he serious or is he just trying?
He is serious, but I just don't. Look, Taysom Hill is a valuable potential star. I mean, you have to define star in different ways, right? I mean, I'm not talking about.
He just said he would sign him over Drew Brees,
no,
John.
No.
That's what he just said.
No, you don't do
he
that.
He didn't say this guy is a utility Swiss Army knife. He straight up just said he would sign Taysom Hill instead of Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's way over the top. Taysom Hill is 30. He's going to be 30 years old.
He's
going to
be 30, and he's thrown 13 passes.
Yeah.
So he's thrown 13 passes in his career. And as far as the Steve Young comparison, the only reason that they're comparing Steve Young and Taysom Hill, because at age 30, Steve Young had thrown over 500 passes, and the 49ers had traded for him to be Joe Montana's backup.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason he's comparing them
is because they're both in the NFL. He also played in the USFL.
Yes. The only reason he's doing this is because they're both Mormons from BYU.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the only way that he's comparing Taysom Hill and Steve Young. That's it.
No,
I don't understand this.
I don't either. That's
weird.
His opinion. That's fine, but that's way over the top.
It's ridiculous.
The guy could be a star. I think he's a budding star already.
But I don't know. I don't know how in one breath Florio is going to say that Drew Brees is a product of Sean Payton's system, but then Taysom Hill, who's being used in one of the most unique ways you've seen a player used in recent years, almost Cordell Stewart-like with lining him up in the Wildcat, lining him up at tight end, doing that. How is that not a product of Sean Payton's system even more than Drew Brees?
Yeah.
Especially when he had the highest QB rating of his entire Hall of Fame career, I must add. I got to tell you, Mike Florio is way out of line on this. Russell Wilson. Listen to this audio from Russell Wilson
here
and Ciara.
Here we go.
So Ciara's pregnant, correct? Am I right, Figgy?
She looks it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want to throw that out there. Sometimes, I know. That's kind of rude.
I've done it.
Well, my sister did it when she was a kid. When we were kids, she went up to a lady.
That's one of the most awkward moments in life.
Yeah.
How far along are you? I'm not. Oh.
My bad. See you later.
That's one of those mistakes you only make once.
But Russell
Wilson.
You
only make that mistake once.
Was behind Ciara. They were in the mirror. Russell Wilson's trying to, I guess, undo her dress a little bit. And she's talking into the camera, and Russell Wilson's just being really, really weird behind her. Just listen to Russell Wilson and tell me where the hell this accent came from.
My honey is cutting me out of this dress.
I want to move it off, but you're all the way up flying.
You cannot damage this dress, baby.
Why not? I said, I'll buy it.
What is he saying?
The first part he goes, I won't rip it off, but are you over here playing? And then the last part he says, I'll buy you a new one or something. I don't know what he says before that. Play that again, Figgy. Tell me what he says.
My honey is cutting me out of this dress.
I want to rip it off, but you're all the way up playing.
You cannot damage this dress, baby.
Why not? I said, I'll buy you a new one.
They're weird.
I don't
They're really
understand.
Strange. They are weird.
So you know he's wearing his hair now?
I don't know what's going
on. Looks
like
an artist. Looks like a grunge artist or something.
I don't know what's going on with this guy. He's a bad, bad dude, though.
Yeah, he is.
To say the very least. One of the best in the game. I would say if you had me put the tiers of quarterbacks right now, I would say tier one is Pat Mahomes, and then right below him is Russell Wilson. And then you can discuss everyone else after that.
I'd put Lamar Jackson up there.
I got to see one more year of
him. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I think he deserved MVP, but I got to see one more year of Lamar doing what he's doing, and then he can get up
there. Yeah, maybe.
But right now, he is at tier. Lamar's definitely, if that's tier one, then I think Lamar's at tier two. That's just where they sit right now, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. One of the worst free agent signings in the history of the Houston Texans organization is saying that the organization lied to him. We'll tell you what he said next. You talk about the worst free agent signings in the history of the Houston Texans. Two come to mind. Brock Osweiler, obviously. Absolute disaster. They got out of it at the right time. Were able to get Deshaun Watson. The other one, a guy who's respected around the NFL, arguably the best player at his position.
Going into the Hall of Fame.
Was not very good, though, as a member of the Houston Texans. Ed Reed, former Baltimore Raven, Super Bowl champ, and one of the worst signings the Houston Texans have ever made. However, Ed Reed says that it might not be all his fault as to why things didn't work out when he signed with the Texans. According to the Hall of Fame safety, the Houston Texans lied to him when they brought him in years ago.
Yeah, he was on Untold Stories with, am I saying this right, Master Tisfatsian?
Sure.
Anyway.
Just call him Master T.
Master T. Yeah, that guy. And so he was talked about. He was talking about his career right now, Hall of Fame, et cetera. So in the middle of the interview, he was asked about the disaster that was his 9-month tenure with the Houston Texans. And it was enlightening, but I also feel it was a little bit altering history a little bit. Because let me just read you what he had to say. This was Ed Reed talking about being with the Texans when they ended up going 2-14 and firing Gary Kubiak. Quote, "You actually brought me in, recruited me, asked me to tell you the things that I'm telling you. And when I started saying that stuff, they shrugged me off. It was like, nah, that's not how we do it. I was lied to. I'm too old to be lied to." But then he went on talking about just kind of the way the atmosphere was around here. Keep in mind, that was also the season when Bob McNair talked about we can't have the inmates running the prison that were widely interpreted as, you know, calling the players prisoners, et cetera. And, you know, we've talked about that. But here's what he said. "When I went to Houston, it took me back to the South, and it was so discouraging. I saw that when I was there. The Houston way, so to speak, as they called it, it's not the city, it was the organization at that time. And they had that old school mentality. You had coaches talking reckless to guys, and I'm like, I'm a grown man. How do you let that happen? Plus, as a coach, you're not going to get everything out of that man that you want to because you're talking to him reckless. I was surrounded by a bunch of guys just coming to work. It was a job. It wasn't football anymore for me, and that was draining." Okay, so that's his memory, and I'm sure that's as accurate as he could remember. I'm not saying that he's lying. What I'm saying is you're altering the truth a little bit because the biggest part of Ed Reed not being here and working out here was, if he didn't lie, certainly he wasn't completely forthcoming because his hip was shot. I mean, he was damaged goods. Now, maybe that's on the Texans too for not doing better, medical research or testing or whatever it may be. But the biggest reason, he had a bum hip. He missed the first 2 months of the season. Ended up getting, you know, released shortly before Kubiak was fired. So, yeah, I'm not saying that what he's saying is incorrect, but keep in mind the Texans felt probably a little bit jilted as well by Ed Reed and his health.
I just think it's kind of weird for him to throw that out there that the coach is. Like, first of all, he doesn't say the city because he doesn't want to bring that up. But to say that the coaches talked to him weird, I think that I'm calling BS on that. I'm flat out calling him a liar.
Really?
I don't like calling players liars, but I will flat out call him a liar to say that the coaches talked to him weird like that. Because let's just go through the coaches in 2013. Mm-hmm. Could I interest you in that?
Absolutely.
All right, Gary Kubiak.
Mm-hmm.
Have you that was your head coach? Has Gary Kubiak ever been accused of someone who?
No, he's the most well liked coach in this organization's history.
Okay, the defensive coordinator was Wade Phillips.
Right.
That's one of the biggest player coaches of all time. Vance Joseph. One of the most respected guys. That was his secondary coach. Mm-hmm. You had among others. Those were the coaches. I don't believe that at all. So I think he gets a little bit fired up and starts saying that. But to say that the coaches talk down on players, history just doesn't represent that, and the personalities of those coaches doesn't back up what he's saying. So I'm flat out saying that Ed Reed is lying on that. Gary Kubiak, Wade Phillips, Vance Joseph, the guys that he dealt with. I don't believe that for a second.
Now, I do know for a fact, not rumor, but he and Wade Phillips did not get along ultimately.
That's a him thing.
But I was going to say, that's not necessarily because, Ed Weed is old. I mean, Wade Phillips is old school, and the old South, you know, as he put it in his comment there. No, it might be Wade Phillips was ticked off because you had hip surgery before you came here, and that was not exactly forthcoming on your part. And he's like, well, look, we can't count on Ed Reed. He missed the first two games, as I mentioned. I might have said 2 months. I didn't mean to say 2 months. The first two games after that hip surgery, and then was a non-factor beyond that. So it's a little bit of selective memory for sure. For
yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think he kind of worked himself up and said something. And I think you should be more specific if you're going to say that, because you're basically saying that they had the old South mindset. And it'd be one thing if you said the city. It'd be one thing if you said something else. But to say the coaches, like there are names right there. And the coaches that he would have dealt with most are some of the most, like – well-liked coaches, like Garrett from Kubiak to Wade Phillips to Vance Joseph. I think Ed Reed's being a little bit silly there. It doesn't really seem to add up. But it wouldn't be the first time that Ed Reed talked out of his butt, to be honest with you. He's for as great of a player as he was, he's been known to do that. And let's be honest, he was shot. I mean, it's not like he left Houston and all of a sudden his career continued and Ed Reed was just smashed. He was done. He was fried. He was finished. So one of the worst signings in the history of the Houston Texans. Still has a lot to say about the coaching staff that year. I mean, the Jets tried to bring him in after that, and they couldn't even use him. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is in regards to Ed Reed. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. Big news today in regards to the NFL. Phillip Rivers is going to part ways with the Chargers. The Buccaneers and the Colts are the teams said to be interested in acquiring the services of Phillip Rivers. It'd be interesting to see if he did go to the Colts. I know he's not one of the most mobile quarterbacks, but he's a guy who can get rid of the ball quickly, and he'll be playing behind the best offensive line he's played behind in a long, 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 long time.
I think he wants to go to a team exactly like the Indianapolis Colts. We're here in Tampa. I've heard Denver already. Denver is a possibility. I think he needs to go and wants to go to a team like Indianapolis because of the offensive line, the head coach, the play calling. All they need to do is draft another wide receiver, and I think that's high on the list of the Indianapolis Colts, probably first round pick, to be honest. You know, with as deep as the wide receiving core is, I think they're going to have they're going to want the pick of the litter, have T.Y. and this other receiver, whoever it might be, and Phillip Rivers is bound for a team like that.
If he goes to Tampa Bay, what exactly is he trying to accomplish?
What's the goal?
Yeah, like I'm not like
you have a stated goal and a clear goal with the Colts.
At this point in your career, when you've been in the league for 16 years and you're pushing 40, and you've gone through some roller coaster like seasons with the Chargers, going back to when you made the AFC Championship and played on a torn ACL, like what exactly are you trying to accomplish if you go to Tampa Bay? I know it's a year to year league, but are you trying to chase the ultimate prize? Like what exactly am I supposed to think that you're trying to do? Are you just trying to play to play?
If Phillip Rivers goes to Tampa, I'll go so far as to say if Phillip Rivers goes to Tampa, you got to lose respect for him because he's got all the money in the world.
What if it's his only choice?
That's different, but I don't think it's going to be. I mean, there are multiple teams in the market for a quarterback. I'd kind of lose respect for him. I mean, not totally. The guy's a Hall of Famer. He's got all the numbers and 60,000 yards passing, all that stuff. But what's your goal? Is your goal just to be close to your 27 kids and get paid the most?
27, good
or however,
Lord.
However many.
He doesn't need you to add any more kids to him. He's got enough as it is.
However many that he has.
He says like 13.
It might be 13.
You imagine moving with 13 kids?
No.
It's hard for me to move from apartment to apartment, and you're talking about you're talking about moving 13 kids across country from LA to Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
That's a lot.
What about traveling? Just a pain.
How about it? What if he put them in a van and just drove?
I doubt he drove.
One of those Seth Payne vans.
I'm assuming that, man, he rocks that van pretty good. I don't know what that says about him, but Seth can pull off the van.
Oh, he pulls it off.
I don't think you'd be able to.
I'm not a big van guy. I've driven my share of 15-passenger vans.
Yeah, well, Wade Smith might have something to say about the, you and a van would not be a good combination, especially for the reputation Wade Smith has thrown on you.
Well, it's not true. It's kind of true, but it's not true.
Whoa, it's kind of true?
No, it's not really true.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Let's put a bow on this. A lot has gone on. AJ Hinch has ended his silence. He looks better, but...
Talk about Charlie Morton.
Let's talk about Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton also had some stuff to say. Is he going to get the same energy from Astros fans that Mike Fiers did? We doubt it, but should he? That's next. It's Valentine's week.
Oh, yeah.
I feel so bad for people on Valentine's week.
It's the most pressure-packed holiday.
No.
100%.
No.
It's the most pressure.
Depends how cool your girl is.
Come on. I don't care. Cool, not cool. Valentine's Day is the most pressure-packed holiday of them all.
Remember when I...
You can't screw it up.
Remember when...
When you stole the present for us? You remember that, Figgy?
The candy.
We got candy, and flowers, right?
Yeah.
Candy and flowers sent to In the Loop. Figgy, Landry, and me. Candy and flowers. And Dip Bleep over here takes out the card that said to John, Figgy, and Landry, takes those gifts and presents them to his girlfriend as if he bought them and he thought of them. Did you ever tell her the truth?
I think you did.
I did?
Yeah, I think you did. But I'd gotten her other stuff. I just tried to add to the mix.
It doesn't change from the fact that you stole from us and presented it as your own idea and your own purchase.
But I honestly thought it was, I thought it was like one of those gifts from like the actual sponsor. I didn't know it was from the actual, like an actual listener slash friend. I did not know that.
Yeah, sure,
so
you didn't.
I didn't. I didn't.
Although, what does it matter? It's still addressed to all of us.
Although I got caught stealing flowers when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's never been more pissed at me.
For Valentine?
Well, you see, my mom, Landry. So my mom was having like a teacher luncheon or something like that.
Okay.
And they had like...
She was a teacher, for those who don't know.
They ate. They ate their food and then... You could tell that the food was done. So I went there. I forgot what I was going to get. And there were some flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice flowers. And they were clearly just going to throw them away. So it wasn't like that big of a deal, I didn't think. So I just grabbed the flowers and I gifted them to my then girlfriend.
So what we have now, Figgy, is a habit, a series.
This has been going on for a long
time. This is a trend.
Well, no one would have noticed the flowers, but apparently the vase was like $300. So I didn't really think about the vase. It didn't look like it cost $300, but apparently it was like a $300 vase. So they looked at the surveillance video and the camera, and they took some still
shots.
You
got caught on camera?
Hell yeah, I got caught on camera. And my mom was talking about what a slime ball it was, and then they presented it, and it was me. So I had to basically, I had to do the double whammy. First of all, I had to tell the girl that, I doubled down because I told the girl that the vase was my mom's and I just needed it back. So she never really said anything until like months later when my mom and her basically got together and started rallying around it. But then I had to go back to the school and told them I was sorry. I was taking the flowers. I didn't mean to take the vase. So there is a history
there. But you did
mean
to take the vase.
Yeah, but I didn't think the vase was a big deal. The flowers weren't a big deal. It was the vase. And I didn't give a damn about the vase. Quite honestly, I could have just grabbed the flowers and put it on paper. I took the vase because I didn't think it was a big deal.
And you give me a hard time about my 20 cents gentleman's agreement coffee.
I'm sure you've stolen $300 of coffee at some point.
Again, it's a gentleman's agreement. They know what I'm doing, and it's just kind of a quid quo pro, if you will.
Splitty, a.k.a. Rappin' Duke, says you're supposed to order Valentine's flowers the week of so that you avoid the prices. Like, avoid the prices. You know where you get flowers from, right, in H-Town? Like, there's only one place.
Fannin.
Phantom Flowers all day.
All day.
All damn day.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom Flowers is the, they will cut them for you. They will do, I mean, you can go through, mm-hmm. They'll make sure you get the freshest one. Phantom Flowers is just, I mean, it's elite. It's a family-owned business, too. Family-owned business.
No, I'm talking about all those places down there. But yeah, Phantom itself, Flowers is
Phantom Flowers
excellent.
Goes in. That's where you got to get flowers. Unless John Lopez comes across like a flower endorsement, which he's been known to do, so then you got to go with
but
that.
But there is no more pressure-packed holiday. You can't screw it up. It can't just be flowers, you know, all due respect, from the grocery store. It has to be some thought into it. And guys, ladies, if you're listening, you probably already know this, but if you don't, there is no holiday that guys despise more than Valentine. None.
None. And you should never spend Valentine's with someone that you're not really gonna like. I mean, unless you're just gonna dip out. But sometimes it gets a little bit too hectic. But if you're just gonna dip and dip, then that's cool. But
didn't you break up with a girl on Valentine's?
I did. Taylor Rockaway, eighth grade. Landry, eighth grade. I broke up with her on Valentine's, and I was doing her a favor, actually.
You realize she still talks about that.
I know, and it was one of my mom's best friend's daughters. I did, but it was appropriate.
Mom's best friend's daughters you broke up with on Valentine's.
I didn't want her to think that it was more than it was. I didn't want to.
Well, she didn't.
Well,
I mean, you made that clear.
Kicked your ass.
You made that clear.
She can thank me for it.
You couldn't wait one day?
No, because I didn't want to have to fake it. And I decided that I was going to be authentic, and I was doing her a favor.
She wanted you to fake it.
It would have been easier to fake it. You think that was easy for me?
Why don't you think about it from my perspective?
It wasn't easy for me.
Dude, you crushed a little girl's heart.
She was fine.
She was not fine.
It. She was cool.
713-572-4610. Landry, ladies, what would you have done to Landry if he broke up with you on your boyfriend on Valentine? There is nothing lower.
I was in eighth grade, dude. I mean, sometimes you just got to make moves.
Oh, so you didn't have a brain in your head?
I mean, I had a brain, and that's why I made the right decision for both of us. It was a.
We need to get her. Do you have her phone number?
No.
By the end of the week, give me your name. I'll look her up.
Bro, it was like.
I don't care.
I mean, it was like 23, like a long time ago.
I am going to work as hard on that as I am Cal McNair's interview.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
We'll get her on the air about the year that Landry broke up with her literally on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Like, okay. How'd you do it? You just said, hey, sorry, peace out?
I think I might have sent my friend over and told him to
do it. Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
It's in eighth grade, dude.
Doesn't matter.
I didn't hit puberty till like, junior year.
Come on, man.
I wasn't as developed as the other kids. Then I had that 10-inch growth spurt or whatever. By the way, there's a loophole on the text line, 713-572-4610, 6382. They think that you've become less likable with all the weight that you've lost. They said you were much more likable when you were fat.
I haven't lost that much weight.
I know, I'm kind of offended myself because I didn't think you were like some sort of like massive human being. They're acting like you were a fat ass. Which might be good for your endorsement, but they're acting like you were a total fat ass, and now all of a sudden you've lost all this weight.
Lost that much.
Well, that's what they say. How does that make you feel?
You know what it is? When I lose weight, it's all right here that I lose.
You're pointing to your belly. They can't see that on there.
Like everything else pretty much stays the same. So yeah.
Oh God. Mm-hmm. These are the kind of texts that John hates. I can promise you that this is a text that John hates. And you tell me if I'm wrong. 8249. Me and my husband both hate Valentine's Day. No need to celebrate. We adore each other every day.
Get out of here. Just get out of here. Nobody believes you. Nobody believes you.
Don't get out of here. Stay here with us, please.
Yeah.
We love
you.
John hates the mushy stuff.
No, I like the mushy stuff. I just hate like the overt I'm trying too hard. We know what true love is.
We're the best couple ever.
That's like somebody on Twitter about a year ago said,
"Oh God. I've never
had a fight with my husband."
That's pathetic.
You're lying.
Or he just says he just doesn't want to even
My
bother.
Husband and I have never had a fight. Yeah, you have. Probably more than most people.
Yeah.
The posing is what it is. You know, is what drives me nuts.
Okay. I want to get a loophole to defend something that goes on whenever dates happen and whatnot. 713-572-4610. I need you to defend this if you do this. You might do this, John. I could see Figgy easily doing this. I could see Figgy being this guy. Sit on the same side of the booth guy at dinner. Do you sit on the same side of the booth? 713-572-4610. I want you to defend yourself if you sit on the same side of the booth. Figgy, you sit on the same side of the booth?
No, I hate it. My wife always wants to sit on the same side. I hate it.
Oh, she does?
Yes.
Oh, that I feel so bad
I need some
for
room,
you.
Man. I need some elbow room. She wants to sit on the same side.
I don't even like sitting at a table. If I can sit at a booth, I'll wait for a booth rather than an open table. because you can spread out. It's like a couch, you know? It's like something you can do like that.
You always got to go with the booth, but some people really do like sitting on the same side.
That looks so stupid to me.
No.
It happens, though.
It looked dumb.
It happens, though. Pavetex. Pavetex, what up?
Hey, man, that sounds like something Photo Eddie would be doing, putting them 14-day posts about how he loves his wife. Each day goes on a different story, man. Come on, bro. We know
that. Come on, Photo Eddie.
I don't even know what Pavetex is talking
about. The mushy, mushy, over-the-top lies about how there's so much in love. Look, I don't doubt that you're so much in love.
I get it. But
I doubt that you're telling the truth.
Sitting on the same side?
Exactly. No. No, you don't sit on the same side.
Yeah, the same side of the booth is just like, I don't know, man. It rubs me a wrong way. By the way, we went to eat after the I don't know if I'll mention his name or not, but we went to eat after the game.
Mm-hmm. The XFL game?
Yeah. This dude ended up in the kitchen, bro.
I know who it is. You don't even have to say. I know who it was. Yep.
No.
No?
Was not.
It wasn't him?
Wasn't him. Just walked in the kitchen, then walked right back out like nothing happened.
No kidding.
In the damn kitchen, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, we know. Well,
VE.
Oh, really?
VE. He took some good pictures, but he ended up in the kitchen. We were just looking at each other like, what is going on right now? I think we got someone who's going to defend sitting on the same side of the booth. All right. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Mike from Houston.
What's up, Mike?
We sit on the same side all the time just because we share dishes. I mean, we're smaller.
Oh,
I don't know,
man.
If you guys are thick or what.
Come on, Mike. Mike, you're the hey, let me order this and let's split the entree guy. Come on, Mike.
I wish I ordered it. She's always the one that orders it.
Jeez.
It's always her choice.
Jeez,
I know.
You're a gentleman.
I know.
What kind of pants does she like to wear?
She just wears all the pants.
Yeah,
I guess.
Exactly.
All the pants.
Yeah, Mike.
I try to order stuff that my wife don't like. So
me
she
too.
Don't pick on my plate.
Me too.
A lot of seafood. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Dude, if I out-order you, I out-order you.
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
I out-ordered you. That's your own mistake. Yeah. Eat your own food.
She be trying to order stuff for me. No. Like, oh, no, he'll take the mac and cheese because
yeah,
I want something.
No,
I'm like,
no,
no,
he won't.
Order
nope.
what you want. Order yeah. what you want. Don't do this whole like...
Yeah.
I'll try this. You try that. No, man. I'm not trying to do that.
Get the mashed potatoes because I want to try that too.
No, why don't you order
the
mashed potatoes?
Then.
Why don't you do that?
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't really. I'm not a big fan.
Hold
of
on.
That.
Photo Eddie is doing a 14-day love challenge.
No, he's not.
Each day he puts a different picture of his wife
no,
and all
not.
The ways that he loves her.
No, he's not. That's what Pavetex was talking about?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're lying.
My God.
You're lying.
Can we excommunicate a loophole? Is that something that we can do?
Let me see the 14-day love challenge.
14-day love challenge.
Oh, God. Here's day 8.
You know.
You ready for this?
Yes.
This is day 8 from Photo Eddie, the 14-day love challenge. It's a picture of his wife flying a kite with her kid. Day number 8. You're an incredible mother. You made me a dad, and you often put other news ahead of your own. Family is just as important to you as it is to me. Hashtag 14 days of Courtney. Hashtag my love. Hashtag my Valentine.
You know what a 14-day love challenge would be for my wife and me? I go fishing for 2 weeks.
Here's day 7.
That would make everyone happy.
Day seven from Photo Eddie. Like my daughter is doing here, I would follow you anywhere. The love between us grows more and more each year. By the way, all the stuff on the counter is Courts. LOL. Hashtag 14 days of Courtney. Hashtag my love. Hashtag my Valentine. It's his wife and daughter doing their hair together.
Good God.
So is he the loophole Russell Wilson?
Yes. Photo Russell.
Here's day number 5. I skipped a day. I apologize. Now let's go to day 6. Oh, my gosh. This might be the worst one of all of them. Like black and white are yin and yang. You balance me out.
Come on,
when
man.
I'm high, you're low. When I'm too far right, you bring me back left. Not talking politics. Without you, this whole life thing would not be as fun. Hashtag 14 days of Courtney. Hashtag my love. Hashtag my Valentine. Number five.
I don't know if I can talk with him anymore.
Number five. You are a big kid like me. Hashtag, he half-assed this one. Hashtag 14 days of Courtney. Hashtag my love. Hashtag my Valentine. This was at Disneyland. Day number four. He's got a little wig on.
Oh, my gosh.
The Russell Wilson wig. You put up with my dumb ideas, actions, and bad dad jokes. Hashtag 14 days of Courtney. Hashtag my love. Hashtag my Valentine.
I mean, God bless you, Photo Eddie. God bless.
Aww. He's running out of material. Yeah. Because number three,
getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
You gave me the family I've always wanted, and I literally could not ask for a better one. He already said dad. She already said.
Oh,
he already said
it, so he's mailing
like
it in.
Down. Yeah, he's been mailing it in. Yeah. You're kind of exposing yourself as a half-assed phony, Eddie, is what you're doing right now. Number two, he put a picture of her in her high school basketball uniform. You are my teammate.
Oh, Lord.
And you believe that also. We make a great team. Hashtag 14 days of love. Hashtag my love. Hashtag my Valentine. So he puts a picture of her in her high school basketball jersey.
You're my teammate.
Bars.
Oh, my.
Bars, baby.
Gosh, Eddie. You're exposing yourself, man.
By the way, you've lost all power. You've got no more power in that relationship.
He's running out of steam, too. What the hell is wrong with this guy? My goodness. Charlie Morton. Do you still love Charlie Morton?
I do.
Here's what he had to say this weekend, though. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the Houston Astros cheating scandal, and this is the first public comments we've got from the guy that was on the mound when the Astros won that World Series in 2017. Quote, I was aware of the banging. You could hear the banging. Being in the dugout, you could hear it. I don't know when it dawned on me, but you knew it was going on, Morton said, according to Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. Personally, I regret not doing more to stop it. I don't know what that would have entailed. I think the actions would have been somewhat extreme to stop it. That's a hypothetical. I think the perception of that World Series was negatively affected at minimum. I certainly have thought about it because it negatively impacted the game and people's perception of the game, the fans, opposing players, and that doesn't sit well with me. Where I was at the time, I don't know where I was. Because what's wrong is wrong, and I'll never be absolved of that. That's Charlie effing Morton, Mike Fars. That's Charlie effing Morton saying that. That hurts.
I think that resonates more than just about anything anyone has said. You cannot not like Charlie Morton. You cannot, say that he's, covering something up or whatever. He's the most honest and likable guy that team had. I mean, he 100%. And he's talking about, yeah, it happened, which we already knew that, but just the embarrassment of it and how it affected the perception of that World Series. That hits hard. That resonates loud right there.
Yeah, it's one thing for Mike Fiers to say it, but when Charlie Morton, lovable Charlie, is saying it, man, that kind of stings, man. That really, really stings. What is Jose Altuve going to say? Because he hadn't apologized yet. Jim Crane said the apology's coming. What is all Jose going to say whenever we have the Astros spring training, which we're going to be there from the 12th to the 21st. So be ready for that. Texas Bay Credit Union's hooking us up. They're hooking you up, most importantly, because we're going to give you all the immediate access to your Houston Astros pitchers and catchers report. You're going to have the players reporting. We're going to be the first ones to give you what you need to hear from your Houston Astros. What are you giggling about over there, OG?
Our listeners are just destroying poor Photo Eddie. Poor Photo Eddie. Well, he brought it on himself. That whole 14 days of, what did he call it?
14 days of love, and he basically recycled. Mm-hmm. Like, he's trying to look like he's going above and beyond. He's basically overexposing and showing how much he half-assed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with Photo Eddie is, I mean, my goodness, dude, you recycled it. Like, mm-hmm. it's ruined.
Who is that sucker? Somebody said.
Photo Eddie.
It's Photo Eddie, man.
One of the original loopholes.
Yep.
I wonder what Pavetex tries to do when he tries to turn it on for
his love machine?
A little bit crazy.
How does his love machine run?
I don't know. I don't even want to know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it would run. So what do you got planned?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're just chilling, dude.
No, you're not.
We haven't really.
You're lying.
Probably can go to brunch. Probably just chill out, dude.
Yeah, you got to plan something.
Brunch and chill out.
I don't care if you think your girl is the coolest, most laid back, doesn't really care. Here's breaking news.
See, this is why
she cares.
This is why you're not a very good teammate sometimes.
I'm an awesome teammate.
You throw this out there.
I'm the best teammate.
You're throwing this out there, and you're trying to make everyone else look. Who knows what Figgy's going to do? They were wearing matching shirts this weekend.
But see, but Figgy doesn't. He just does it with actions, you know. Figgy and his girl are real tight, very much in love, and it's admirable, you know, just how much in love you guys are. But he's not posting any crap like that on Facebook.
He's been known to recycle a gift every once in a while, though. So
yeah,
so
you've
I
been known
put
to steal
my business
them.
Out there. Well, I took some flowers when I was a freshman in high school.
And you took stuff from us.
Well, I didn't know that was immediately what was going on.
Yeah, you took the card off of the gift.
It was a gift, Holmes.
That said in the loop.
Hey.
That said in the loop and our names.
Hey, what happened with those earrings that we got at the Houston Sports Awards, Figgy?
I told her the truth. I told her.
Okay.
I told her.
He tried to gift them. He tried to gift them as a random gift.
Once he gets them, he can do whatever the heck he wants. They weren't stolen.
I'm just saying, that's not a real gift, Mr. Love Guy.
Yes, it is. He did what he needed to do. Once he got them, he got them on the up and up. You stole stuff.
Bro, you're going back to eighth grade, and man. Pawned it off. You still steal stuff. You still steal coffee every morning.
It's not stealing.
It was a freshman stealing from an Eaton buffet. I didn't know that the vase was worth $300.
I'm talking about what you stole from us.
And I gave it back. I did not. I thought it was from like a sponsor. So yeah. I thought no one was going to use it.
And that card that said in the loop, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Landry Locker didn't deter you.
No, I thought they were sending it to the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was like a real gift. I didn't think someone actually spent money on it. Now, if that happens again, then
we need to be on the lookout just in case.
For all I know, we've gotten gifts already, and he's got them in his car.
It's a principle of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a good one. It's been a Monday.
Yeah,
we're getting through this
last few minutes.
Tomorrow, John McClain's going to join the show. We'll see what he's got to say. We got to ask him about this Ed Reed stuff. Also got to ask him about this 2-year window. It looks like the Texans are kind of operating on a 2-year window. So we'll ask John McClain what he's got to say about that. For Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, for the OG John Lopez, I am Landry Locker. This has been In the Loop, episode 432. Jeremy Branham and Clint Sterner are next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.